We are in Genesis 3, 21 through 24 this morning as we continue our lesson in Genesis, our studies in Genesis. The title of this lesson is Sin Begets Murder. Sin Begets Murder. Now, we left last week's lesson learning that God had provided to Adam and Eve a covering for their nakedness. And it was a covering for nakedness that they had come to know by now having the knowledge of good and evil. Formerly, that was no such concept. But when their eyes were opened to sin and evil and wickedness and good, they looked at themselves and they said, "We're naked." For in Genesis 3:21, we read this, "All unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them." Now, Adam and Eve, upon realizing that they were naked, used fig leaves to cover themselves. They wove them into some sort of an apron, and they covered themselves. And, of course, upon God entering the garden, they hid themselves. And they had to be called out by God, but they were called out covered with fig leaves because they were naked. But we learn here in this passage that man-made coverings do not satisfy God. What a lesson that is. Oh, the world is so interested in man-made coverings for sin. Psychology is one. Psychology is rampant in the covering of sin, for everything is designated as some sort of a syndrome or a disease or some problem like that, but sin is not identified. For God quickly provided them coats of skin, thereby decreeing in this action that a death must occur and blood shed for a covering to be effective. And in this act, He pointed to His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, whose shed blood covers the sins of all. That's the only covering that God accepts. That's the only covering that satisfies God. You have to take away the fig leaves of man-made covering and find the blood of Christ to cover sin. And from this will come the abundance of blood shedding in the tabernacle and temple, daily reminding all of God's covering standard. Every day in the temple, every day in the tabernacle, blood was shed to remind them that their covering was only satisfied to God by blood. So continuing in our passage, we now read of a conversation amongst the Trinity. So here we see a glimpse of the Trinity. For in verse 22, they speak among themselves. Can you imagine that? They're speaking among themselves, referring to themselves as us. Now, when you say us, you're talking about more than one. So here we see the Trinity. They had done this also in Genesis 1:26, where they said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness." So here we see a plural indicating a Trinity. So in Genesis 3:22 through 24, we read this. "And the Lord God said, Behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life." So again, change is to take place, a change which brings Adam and Eve to a new environment. You know, things do not remain the same when sin enters the picture. Sin causes change in a life. You go down that road of sin and change comes into your life. And sin entered the picture in Adam and Eve and things changed. You know, the knowledge of good and evil is a God attribute. For this brings no harm to the Almighty God. But in the case of created beings, it brings much harm. Oh, sin brings harm. And God loves us. And he provides for us an escape from sin. Even in this life, he provides for us an escape from sin. His Word of God allows us to escape from sin because of its truths, and then ultimately an escape from the nature of sin. So in a sense, Satan's promise to Adam and Eve that they would become like God in the knowing of good and evil was true, but certainly not like God in a complete sense. So now they were like God, and God said that, "Behold, the man has become as one of us, because he now knows of good and evil." So God knew, of course, of good and evil, but could not become its victim. That's the difference. Adam and Eve became its victim. God could not become its victim. You know, a doctor studies and knows much about cancer, but the patient knows about it personally, for he or she has become its victim. There's a big difference there. Oh, the doctor studies and studies and knows about cancer, but when you have cancer, you're its victim, and you know cancer. So that's the difference. So the Trinity speaks and knows what is best for the fallen couple. You know, God knows what is best for you. We were talking last night at around the table, and the Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 came up. Trust in the Lord. Don't lean to your own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. Oh, the Word of God pours that out into our hearts. Lean to God's understanding. Don't lean to your own understanding. So God knows what is best for the fallen couple. And what is best is for them not to eat of the tree of life. Why would he want them to eat of the tree of life? For eating of the tree of life will doom them to an eternal life of sin. God knows that. If they ate of the tree of life, they would have an eternal life of sin, an eternal life apart from their Creator, a life of hell separate from God. So God has to do something. He's created this wonderful Garden of Eden, this wonderful, beautiful, perfect place, but now with their new nature, they are not suitable to stay in that garden, and he has to banish them, keep them away from the tree of life, lest they have no opportunity for salvation. That's the kind of God we serve. Looks out for his own. A life without salvation from what their rebellion has brought them, but God who loves them knows best and sends them away to live a life far different from Eden. Oh, they lived such a wonderful life, walking with God in the cool of the day, but now they're not suitable for that, for they now have another nature, a sinful nature. For it is to be a life of survival, by hard work, a work designed to keep them away from sin as much as possible, and a life where this body will eventually be shed in preparation for a new body. God put them in this situation. So we are given to see banishment from a perfect place for their own good. Why? Well, they now had another nature. They now had the nature to sin. So God sends them away in order that redemption will come about. So here we see God's mercy. He shows mercy in sending Adam and Eve to a place that suits their nature. You know, all of nature was changed so that Adam and Eve would have a place suitable for their sinful nature, a nature to pursue knowledge of good and evil. God cursed the environment for their benefit. So they didn't have the idyllic place which would encourage their sin now that they had that nature. So he has kept them from the tree of life and kept them from eternal punishment, having to live in this nature of sin and this body of sin. So now God expects them to trust in him, that his plan of salvation expressed previously by the bruising of Satan's head will be fulfilled. Remember that promise, that early promise in the book of Genesis that Satan's head would be bruised by the seed of Eve. So faith now is the key. Faith is the key, and God puts into place that without faith, it is impossible to please him. My, what an edict that is. God is pleased by faith. So in chapter 3, we have seen God's provision of a perfect place. The fall from that place, the judgment resulting from that fall, but within all of this, we see God's grace and promise of deliverance. All of this is but a preview of all of this to repeat and to repeat throughout the history of man until Jesus comes. You know, man sees an uplift, but soon a downgrade, another uplift, and then soon a downgrade. This is the history of man. Remember the people of Moses' day, delivered out of Egypt, given the law, and given to enter the promised land. So Canaan was like Eden. Not exactly, of course, but it was similar to Eden, a place of beauty, and described as a place of milk and honey. How many eat milk and how many eat honey? Don't you like to have milk in the house? Don't you like to have honey in the house? Well, Canaan was a place flowing with milk and honey. It was a place that they looked forward from the brick mills of Egypt. And God was bringing them to that place. Obey the word of God, and the place was assured. But put God's law aside, and banishment was guaranteed. Again, this is the same happening as the Garden of Eden, with its concurrent suffering, downfall, and poverty. You know, God said of Canaan in Deuteronomy 30, 15 through 20, and this is such a challenge to anyone who reads this. You know, if you read this sincerely, this is a challenge by God to you. And he says, see, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways. Do you realize that loving God is a command? How can anybody command to be loved? Can you go up to your neighbor and say, I command you to love me? No, you can't do that. But God can do that. Love is a matter of the will. Do you will to love God? God gives you the ability to love God, and he commands you to love God, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep. See, this is a result of loving the Lord. What is the result of loving the Lord? Walking in his ways. Do you walk in his ways in order to love God? You love God, and then you walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. What a promise that is. And that promise is for the believer. But, oh, that but there is a warning. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods. Now he's describing what will take place, for the nature of man brings this about continuously. But if thine heart turn away so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passeth over Jordan to go to possess it, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. And then he says this, therefore choose life. Have you chosen life? You know, if you choose life, that's Christ, for Christ is life. That both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life, and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. Oh, what a passage. What a call. What an urging of God to walk in the way of the Word of God. So in many ways, chapter 3 of Genesis is the seed plot of history. For what happened in Eden again occurred in Canaan. And again in the lives of individuals and nations who choose to ignore the warnings given by God in Eden. You know, we have a Christian school. And day after day after day, the teachers urge the children to walk in the ways of the Lord. They go to chapel and they hear the message and the urging to walk in the way of the Lord. Choose life. Oh, no, I'm going to go my own way. I'm going to do this. I'm going to make the decisions. I'm going to have this career. I'm going to do this. I'm going to have pleasure. I'm choosing death. Many do that. Many choose life. Many choose life. So again and again, we see this story repeated over and over again. For Satan still has winning devices. Oh, he's a nasty, evil, wicked, hateful, for he uses wicked devices and chooses to use them over and over on each generation, and it is only by the grace of God that some are saved. You know, Satan never changes his ways. He has successful methods, and he uses them to generation after generation after generation. But God quickly covered the nakedness of the first pair, and in that act, he gloriously promised all of us to cover our nakedness by redemption and restoration. You know, that happened to me. I was restored by God's redemption, and I chose life. Oh, I've had life now for 40, 50 years, choosing life to walk in his ways. And we learn from God's precious word that the seed of the woman will appear on our behalf in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who applies the only covering that will satisfy the Father, his own precious and holy blood. Oh, we've got to get that into our minds, that God is satisfied only by the blood of Christ. You know, Adam and Eve were given a choice in the garden to obey or not to obey, and this choice remains. Obey the word of God or don't obey the word of God. We come into this world as sons of the first Adam, and by default, we will leave it in the same state as we entered, subject to physical and spiritual death. That is the plan that will take place unless God intervenes in your life. But by God's grace, we can choose God's second Adam. And in so doing, we become what? New creations, new creatures with eternal life, both physical and spiritual lives. So now Adam and Eve are driven from the perfect place to a place suited to their fallen nature of sin. You know, they came from a place where all was wonderful, all was peaceful. But now things are to be different, for the knowledge of good and evil is being pursued. What a change that brought, for their nature was now suited to that quest. With a nature to sin, sin is dominant, and we will see this beginning in the first generation. For we read of this in Genesis 4, 1 through 6. And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Oh, she was so happy. First baby to be born, Cain. And she says, this is Cain. I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, you know, that's an interesting phrase also, in the process of time. Oh, how time will bring out the reality of a person. You know, you again, back to the students that we have in school, you really don't know those students until later on in the process of time. What will they choose? What are the choices they will make? What are the directions they will go? And all those directions and choices in the process of time will reveal the true person. But in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect. Oh, he looked askance at that offering. He wasn't pleased at that offering, but he was pleased at Abel's offering. Oh, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Oh, countenances, they fall easily on young children, don't they? Oh, they're up and down. But there's no indication that Cain was a child. But his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thou countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? What a lesson there. You know, do well and you'll be accepted. And if you don't do well, you won't be accepted. That's pretty simple, isn't it? That was God's way. And if thou doest not well, what happens? Sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Now God had assigned to Adam and Eve in the garden the duties of dressing and keeping the garden. Remember that. Now this, of course, was the way of servants of God. For God walked in the garden in the cool of the day, and he enjoyed seeing the work of Adam and Eve, I suppose, looking at them as they dressed and keep the garden. But servanthood was not satisfying to them, for by disobeying God, they chose the path of self-fulfillment. For this is what was promised to them by Satan. You know, that is the road that the world promises. The path of self-fulfillment. Did he not say, ye shall be as gods? So where will this path, this broad path, by the way, lead? It is on the beginning of this path where physical death is first displayed. I don't know how long they were out of the garden, but here this path is where physical death is first displayed. Now remember that God says the wages of sin is death. And when God sets the wages, the paymaster is sure to obey. There's no dealing, wheeling and dealing, trying to get out of it, wiggle room, but the wages of sin is death. So Cain is born who will demonstrate this truth. Adam gave Eve her name, which describes her function, which is the bringing forth of life For Eve means living or life. So in compliance with her name, she brings forth life. And she names that life Cain, which means to get or gotten or acquired. She says, I've gotten a man from God. So in this name, she attributes this getting to God, for she says, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Now remember the promise of God to her that her seed would bruise the head of Satan. And I suppose, don't you think that she would have thought that this is the one that will bruise the head of Satan? But you know, that notion was quickly dispelled as Cain grew and he brought this offering to God that God had no respect for. And then Abel is born, the second boy. And Abel means breath or vanity. So we don't know if this is a connection with her name as a bringer forth of life, for she calls him breath, which indicates that which breathes life. And then God describes their livelihoods, for this is important in connection with God's promise of a deliverer. One was a tiller of the ground, and another was the keeper of sheep. And in those vocations, we see an offering given to God from those vocations. And we see what God blesses and what God curses, and then the result of that blessing and that curse. And Lord willing, we'll get to that next week as we study this wonderful passage. Father, we thank you again for these folks that have come. Lord, they've lent their ears to the teaching of the Word of God. What a wonderful thing that is, to pay attention, to lean their ears to the Word of God, that Word of God might find a place in their hearts. Lord, that their lives would be lives of obedience to Thy Word. Do bless them and help them, Lord, to grow and prosper in this life. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.